You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for July 21st, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the rim of the great big smoking hole where Sean Spicer's career used to be, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal. I tell you, we've had to rewrite this damn thing. Not that we write this, and this is all on the fly. There's no notes or anything. But repeatedly, no, the original title for this podcast was going to be No Bake Sale for Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
That's how long ago that was. And long that was ago. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Today is Friday. We are recording this absolute last minute. It is 4:24 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. We're almost wanted to wait till 5 just to make sure there weren't going to be any more resignations, you know, from the White House. But maybe recording, we'll find out that Reince Priebus has
decided to flounce off the stage.
To jump out the window. Yeah. So
spend more time with Chris Christie's family.
Yeah, really.
By the way, if any of you notice rising tensions between Blue Gal and I during this podcast, it's because we turn off the whatever's heating or cooling our house for the podcast because it makes this annoying background hum.
Yeah.
So we've turned off our brand new air conditioner.
We have.
Which, thank you again for helping us.
Thank you for helping us pay for that. We're still trying, but everyone that's contributed something to the air conditioner fund after contributing to the furnace fund, we really appreciate it.
Bless your heart. But it's yesterday it was 113 degrees was the perceived temperature.
Heat index. The heat index was 113.
Today it's about the same.
About the same.
So we've shut off the air conditioning to keep ourselves tight on time.
Right.
I can feel the temperature gradually rising. Uh-huh. And so
we're going to go 45 minutes on this podcast, so I hope.
No, Blue Gal, I totally disagree with you. You're a bitch. Oh, no, sorry, honey. That's the heat index talking.
And I keep getting texts from Middle Child. They are with their dad on a big, huge trip this summer.
Yep.
And she keeps texting me, you know, have you watered my plants? Have you watered my plants? I said, it's a greenhouse outside. It is so humid and the plants love it. They just are flourishing in the steam. You know, it's a greenhouse.
It is. It's a greenhouse and we're...
It's great for plants, but not for me. So,
do you want to do a bit of Illinois news before moving on, or do you want to go right into spicy, whichever you prefer?
You want to do Illinois news, right?
Well, yeah, I just want to mention, because we do live in Illinois, and we are, as I've mentioned before, in the middle of the Midwest. We are the only liberal podcast within 1,000 miles of any direction. That's probably a lie, but, you know, who's going to check? So we have
if there are other Midwest podcasts that you think we should listen to,
yes,
let us know, by all means. We love to promote other podcasts. So,
and not the eight-hour-long podcast that
from last summer.
Episode every... You know, I think I got everything I wanted to say out.
Yeah,
during that
right.
Podcast.
We know about that one.
We're happy to form our own little Midwest network here because the coasts, we're in the wrong area code and zip code.
Let's get to the point, Drift Glass, the Illinois news.
Blah, blah. Anyway, we have a state here. We have a whole state and we're in the middle of the country. And our governor, Governor Hedge Fund, as you know, failed to destroy our Illinois government. He tried really hard to wreck the government and he failed. He's coping with his failure the way a lot of dysfunctional CEOs do, like Donald Trump. He's blaming the staff and firing them. Mm-hmm. So there's been this huge shakeup in staff, many of whom were fired, some of whom quit in protest. It was a very big deal around here. I doubt if anyone's heard about it because Spicer and Sessions pretty much gobbles up all the airspace. But the problem with being a CEO and not knowing anything about anything is that, like, right out of the box, two of his new hires, one of them had to quit the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I'm guessing, is hanging by a thread. And you know why, Blue Gal?
Because they wrote stuff on the internet.
Because of social media. And that's what's really weird about this, because I still haven't quite figured out social media. I know that in my previous life or any of my previous jobs, if anyone had ever found out, even though I worked at a Democratic organization, a heavily leaning, if anybody had ever found out that I was a blogger at all, I would have been fired that day.
Right.
Period. Two phone calls, I would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, if you work for Donald Trump, or if you are Donald Trump, you can say whatever the fuck you want on social media. You can swear, you can threaten people's lives, you can do whatever you want. And there's a certain class of people that are never tagged with anything.
Well, and this Scaramucci guy was very pro-gun control or very pro-gun legislation at one time, and everyone was pulling up his tweets from 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it doesn't seem to matter as long as right now you are, you know, it's like Kellyanne Conway when she was working for Ted Cruz. You know, she said all kinds of nasty shit about Trump. But now all you have to say is Donald Trump is the greatest president. We're all behind him 100%, 100%.
And the past can catch up with you. I mean, I will stand behind 99% of what I've written and 100% of what I've said. We've all had our bad days, but I'm pretty consistent about that. And I will tell you that face to face. If anybody ever asked me, did you write this? I'll say, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it is an absolute the mistake that a lot of us liberals made was being right too soon. So I don't say anything that Jennifer Rubin doesn't now say in The Washington Post.
Right.
The difference is Jennifer Rubin is an edgy conservative who tells the truth. And the devil take the hindmost. And I'm just a stupid liberal who is right 15 years too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me unemployable and bitter and Irish as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rauner a guy had to get rid of his body man. The body man is the person who travels with you, carries your stuff because of the person saying some pretty ridiculous things on Twitter. And then I thought it was the same article because the next day in our local newspaper, his communications aide, one of his new communications aide, writes for a conservative blog, has been hired. And the thing is, the things that this woman says isn't out of line with what conservatives actually believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like abortion is basically the same as Nazi Germany.
That's a standard operating procedure. Absolutely. Yeah. You are allowed to say that out loud at CPAC. You are allowed to say that out
absolutely.
Loud. Absolutely.
Yep. But apparently, because we're so nice here, if you commit it to pixels or ink, and then you're screwed because then it becomes an issue. But this is the thing. If you're going to be in that arena, if you're actually going to fight feet first in the political arena, then say what you're going to say. You know, I mean, Bruce Rauner heads a party in which that sort of opinion and other really, really wretched ultra right wing opinions are perfectly acceptable around the table and around the speaker's bureau and, you know, by the water cooler and every other place other than, you know, in print. Shit, man. And you're proud of this shit. I'm not ashamed of what I say. I'm not ashamed of my positions. Neither are these people. And they will tell you to your face. So I say, dude, embrace your inner Klansman. Come out of that closet. Let people know what you think. And let's have an honest fight about it. But this kind of weirdness where, oh, my God, this person was an asshole on Twitter. No, this person's an asshole, period. That's why he works for you. And speaking of Donald Trump, he said segueing.
There's been a lot of people quitting over at the White House. Yeah. Sean Spicer quit.
Yeah.
And let's see, who else quit? Spokesman for Trump's legal team quit. And then I heard rumors. I don't know. Did you hear whether Trump's personal attorney, the guy who chewed out the reporter last week? First of all, let me just say, this is not going to be the first. Spicer's not going to be the last resignation in the White House. These things start and they don't stop.
Yeah.
Mark Kasowitz.
Yeah, that's right.
Major Garrett reported Mark Kasowitz out as POTUS attorney. The legal team now Cobb, Sukolow, and Dowd. Sounds like a law firm, but is not, says Major Garrett.
It is now.
Yeah. Corallo, who was the spokesperson for the legal team, outside legal team, not the personal attorney, but the outside legal team spokesman, resigned. And apparently now HR may or McMaster both may resign.
Uh-huh.
And the reason McMaster may resign has to do with whether or not there's a perception that McMaster has that Breitbart is running the foreign policy of the United States government.
I don't know why he'd get that idea. Oh, yeah, because it's fucking true.
And Steve Bannon and McMaster have apparently clashed.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing that you and I talked about this morning, and I know that it's always a dangerous, slippery slope and also a rather lazy slope to roll down.
Those are my favorite things.
When you talk about, well, what if Obama did this or what if Hillary Clinton did this?
Yep.
But what I said to you this morning was, you know, if I was the next Democratic president of the United States, I would put a Trump podium up in the White House and just let people film that unironically while they're waiting for press secretary to come in. No, you know, you're just filming an empty Trump podium. You're used to that, right?
Right. I would
that would be my troll for the White House press room. Yeah, we're going to be on camera 24/7. It's an empty Trump podium. You guys love filming that. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right. And we would, I believe we had an extended conversation, a very deep philosophical conversation about, and I would ask my press person to say, look, my name is, you know, John Smith, but really my nickname is Schmon Schmeisser.
Schmon Schmeisser.
And I would like you to call me Schmon Schmeisser from now on. And what we're going to do is I'm gonna stand up here and take my dick out and wave it in your face.
Smack you with it.
And shut the lights out. And you're going to sit there and take it because that's what you do, right? That's what you do. That's what this whole show's about. Yeah. And then I said, John, really, really? No, Schmon. Remember, Schmon Schmeisser is my name. And I'm just up here for the next 6 months or so to remind you that you were perfectly fucking okay with this.
Yep.
You thrashed around, and a couple of you made little protesting noises, but you never really did dick about it when the crazy orange baboon was president.
When the Mad King was president, you worried about ratings and access and took time out to cover live OJ's parole hearing.
Now we go live to OJ's on every cable channel. None of you got out of that without dirt on you.
Right.
All the fucking, and I know it's your boss. I know it's the scumbag in the corner office. Says, look, it's ratings. What are you going to do? The other guys are doing it. We got to do it. And I'm sure he didn't, you know, make you feel good because you're the legal expert on whatever to be sitting there talking about OJ and the law and whatever. I didn't watch any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any self-respecting person who would watch any of it.
Nope. But not one moment. Not one second of it.
Let's be clear. Just because you play the piano in the whorehouse doesn't mean you don't work in a whorehouse.
Right.
And we have watched now with great alarm as people who absolutely rolled over for Republicans for 8 fucking years during Obama.
Longer than that for Bush. Let's not forget.
Absolutely.
I have brought up the lies over WMDs this week because of the right wingers complaining about this witch hunt. And how long it's taking.
Yes, it's so long. It's taking so long,
and it's just a witch hunt, and he's a Dem. He's a Dem hiring Dem lawyers, and he's a globalist. Yeah, Benghazi, we know where you're getting all your information. Right.
Benghazi. Right. Well, not to make it very specific, let's say, I was watching Charlie Dent, who is MSNBC's favorite square-jawed, all-American Republican congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Dent, every time he is on MSNBC, he looks concerned about his party. He's deeply concerned that you're going to have to sit down with that beef and straighten him out because they're misbehaving. But what he really wants to do is what the Democrats didn't do, and that's have a bipartisan health care, not ram it through, not keep it secret, blah. And every time – this is what I mean by endemic lying.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Dent knows he's lying. Yep. And Ali Velshi, who was interviewing him this time, and Chris Hayes, who was interviewing him before, goddamn well knows he's lying. Everyone participating in this conversation is aware that Charlie Dent is lying because it's really important ideologically that we pretend that that's what the Democrats did. Give them the both sides do it out because we don't want them to just say, no, the reason the Affordable Care Act looks the way it does and it is not as participatory as it was is because Republicans chose to make it that way. They're the ones who got a bunch of amendments. They participated in a bunch of hearings. They showed up at town hall meetings. This went on for a year and a half. And in the end, they told Barack Obama to go fuck himself.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell took 13, 18 white guys in a room, locked the door and said, Democrats and most of the Republican Party can go pound sand. We're not interested in anything you have to say.
Including
all the women. No
right.
women allowed. No girls allowed. Announced this shitty health care plan. When it went down in flames, Mitch McConnell said, you know, if only we had Democratic cooperation.
Yeah, right.
And at that point, you turn your cameras off or you raise your hand and you say, how the fuck can you lie like that?
Right.
But you're not going to do that because
he's in your Rolodex.
Because your boss won't let you do that. So there is an absolute epidemic of letting Republicans get away with lying about certain things because it's ideologically necessary to pretend that this can maintain this charade that it's both sides. So now that the bell has tolled for thee, now that we have an actual lunatic in office who you helped elect by putting a camera on his podium and letting him ramble and letting him go on Joe Scarborough while he's on the crapper and phoning these conversations, phoning these bullshit interviews, giving him $1 billion. You all know the litany of sins.
Yep.
Now that he has come for you, mm-hmm. now that he has decided to make war on the press specifically, now you want our help? Now you want the people that you have been shitting on, lying to, basically blowing off because it's too annoying to see, yes, liberals are right. Yes, it was bullshit. Yes, Charlie Dent's fucking lying, and I'll say that on the air, and we're not going to have him back on because I have enough self-respect not to put liars on my show. Now that none of that happened and the bad thing has finally arrived and you want us to be outraged on your behalf, fuck you.
Yeah.
I would love to see a free press. Let's start with this. The next time Charlie Dan is on MSNBC, you call him out as a liar the mm-hmm. first time he comes out of the box with this bullshit about the Affordable Care Act.
But he's an employee of MSNBC, right. So you're not going right. to do that.
We're all employees. We're all contributors. We're not going to do that. So
I wanted to compliment, however, Katie Tour and Stephanie Ruhle today.
Yeah.
Because after the Don Scaramucci came out and did his little show, which, by the way, I don't ever want to judge people or criticize them based on their looks. I know the trap that sets for women in particular, but you can judge people based on their costume, and there's a difference. And Scaramucci wears a costume. He is a salesman, and he's there to sell, and he's there to sell himself before he sells whatever he's going to sell you. And the costume that he was wearing of slick $5,000 suit, I'm going to sell you this car, everybody caught that. And it was fascinating to me to watch Ali Velshi sit there and want to talk about style, change mm-hmm. of style, change of tone, change of attitude, that this is a new turn the page kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was Katie Tour. And let me say, too, this is a gender thing.
Yes, it is.
It really, really is a 100% gender thing, because Katie Tour and Stephanie Ruhle both had to talk fast and loud and give Ali Velshi a look of don't interrupt me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Glenn Thrush comes on by remote from the New York Times, he is given 10 minutes to babble. I mean, to actually lose his train of thought twice and not interrupted by Ali Velshi, because mm-hmm. he's a guy. I mean, it's just, to me, it is, he's a guy. But Katie Tour said, you know, when Huckabee Sanders was brought on to sort of do when it was clear that Sean Spicer was absolutely falling on his face into a pile of shit every day, mm-hmm. and they brought on Sarah Huckabee Sanders to be sort of the softer, gentler press secretary.
Spicy. Yeah.
And everyone was really polite to her at the uh-huh. beginning, and this is turning the page, and we're going to have a better relationship, and she's going to be able to joke, and it'll be fine, and we're going to make this better for the first day. And then it was clear that she was playing the same exact role as Sean Spicer. So Katie Tour said that. Then Katie Tour went on this rant and said none of the questions have changed.
Right.
And she went Russia, 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 until we have transparency from the top down. This is not going to change, because the story isn't going away. He keeps stepping in it. He keeps taking interviews. I mean, this, to me, it's so clear where Carter Page got his training to go on TV, go ahead and do an interview and step on a rake, because the president is doing this constantly with this mm-hmm. New York Times interview. And Stephanie Ruhle then said the same thing. She said, look, you cannot put Anthony Scaramucci, car salesman, up there. Mm-hmm. And people said that on Twitter that she's normalizing him. She said, I'm not normalizing him when I say he's a successful salesman in the hedge fund business.
Right.
He is. He is a successful salesman in the hedge fund business.
He's another Goldman alum.
That's what he does. He is Goldman right. Sachs. Absolutely. He's like the sixth one in this White House.
Right.
So I'm not normalizing him by pointing out that he's a really good salesman. He's clearly sold himself to Donald Trump, and that's the only person he has to sell himself to get a job in this White House. And apparently, he really needed a job in the White House. because of his financial dealings and things that he promised and things that were going on. So he's been working to get this angle into Donald's inner circle for a while.
Yeah.
Scaramucci, Priebus, and Spicer are all going to be on Hannity tonight, by the way.
Of course they are. Celebrating.
Hannity is the one show on television where Donald Trump never talked to the New York Times this week.
Donald Trump never
asked if he could pardon his family. As far as Sean Hannity's concerned, those things did not happen.
Which is weird because there's audio tape of Trump from the New York Times.
Yep.
That's the part that just always gasses me is you point these people to the actual audio tape or videotape of that absolutely destroys whatever bullshit lie they're floating in on today. And it just doesn't affect them in any way. They just wave their hand and go on to the next lie. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're attentive to political reality, at some point you realize that every unique lie is just a symptom of the larger, deep psychological malfunction that is the Republican Party, the massive endemic insanity that they all have agreed they're going to just keep feeding because it's so goddamn profitable,
right?
Electorally and personally and professionally.
And we need to get our tax cuts. By the way, I have a message for the Republican Party. Fuck your tax cuts.
You're never getting them.
Well, I don't know if you're never getting them because there's so many people that want them.
Yeah.
But don't pretend that those of us on the professional left don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is a stealth cut to social services for poor people and elderly people. That's what it is.
Let's remember it's
a deep, fiery trap for the next Democratic administration to fall into, because the minute they take office, you're going to start screaming bloody murder about deficit.
Right.
And it's their deficits that you are creating right now with your stupid tax cuts. And the one other thing I wanted to just say before we go drift away from the whole personnel change thing, and a lot of people are saying that Priebus is next. I forgot that Reince Priebus had banned Anthony Scaramucci from the White House earlier this year. And probably because of his, you know, mobster attitude and, you know, that they just kind of clashed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Scaramucci was, you know, persona non grata as far as Priebus was concerned.
Uh-huh.
So people like Joy Reid are saying, my sources say Priebus is next. Priebus is very upset. Priebus didn't want this hire as much as Sean Spicer didn't want it, and so forth. But a couple of people have said, people with blue check marks next to their name have said that Priebus is the one person that people like, people below Paul Ryan and people below Mitch McConnell look to say someone who's looking after us is in that White House.
Yep. He is their umbilical cord and security blanket.
Exactly.
He really is. Yep.
That someone who is interested in the long-term prospects for the Republican Party is sitting in that White House keeping an eye on things. So if Priebus goes, look for that could mean, I mean, I don't know what Congress is going to do because they're such limp, you know, paralyzed people in terms of standing up to Trump. But if Priebus goes, that is going to affect that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just see what happens. This is not the last resignation you're going to see, I think, in the next 7 days. And I'm not somebody who loves to predict on because I know this is on tape.
Although,
we're going to go back to it.
Although I will say, to my eternal shame and credit, on November 9th.
Yes.
The day of the morning of 11/9, my first tweet or second tweet that day was, what happens when Trump decides to pardon all of his goons and relatives?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when he decides to pardon himself? Because it's just as a fiction writer, it's not hard to figure out what this senile racist gangster is looking for. He's looking for the goodie box.
Yep.
This is, by the way, what you are witnessing. I know I mentioned this before, is a bust out. And a bust out is a mob term, a confidence scheme term, when the mob takes over a legitimate business and just loots it, just fucking loots it, puts their relatives and their henchmen in charge of the place, strips it of everything of value, runs up a huge debt that they're cashing out every day, and then leaves this husk behind. That is what Donald Trump and his shitty relatives and his henchmen are doing to the United States government. And the Republican Party is perfectly okay with that because A, all the idiots who voted for him have been trained to hate the federal government, even mm-hmm. though the federal government in a lot of cases literally keeps them alive.
Right.
And B, because, well, at the end of the day, they're going to get their tax cuts. The rich guys are going to get their tax cuts. And that's the important thing. So mm-hmm. if my tax cut means the end of American democracy and the collapse of the federal government as I've known it, fuck, I still have my money.
Yeah.
And really,
yeah.
what more do I need? I don't need
that. That shields me from everything. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
It'll never affect me. And now this is just today, by the way. So this is going to be a 16-hour show. No, it's not.
And by the way, we're going to just post it. I can't take the time because it's so late in the day.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
Yes, we are. So let's go through all of the Russian ramifications.
Okay. You're just going to read down the list here?
It's a very long list. So I have taken my shoes and socks off so I can stretch all the way out and hold the end of the scrolls with my toes and read just what happened this week. Mm-hmm. And we are going to cut short the reminders of what happened last week because the crazy is coming so fast now that it is really, really easy to forget that just last week or the week before, other crazy things happened that have just been wiped off the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that the Trump administration has cut funding for sexual education, sex education,
yep.
research into sex education, which is directly tied to lowering unwanted pregnancy and STD rates.
Right.
And they don't care because it's money they can cut and make a bunch of thugs with Bibles happy. So let's remember that this is the week when Donnie's Secret Dinner with Vlad came out.
Mm-hmm.
This is the week when a launderer, a spy, a hacker, the president's idiot son, his son-in-law, and his campaign manager – all finally said, yeah, we were all in a fucking meeting. And it might have been about adoption. This is the thing that I will remember Sean Spicer for.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sean Spicer was kept in a little box
yeah.
for like a week and apparently wasn't told anything about going on anywhere. So when they let him out of the box a couple days ago, he wandered to the podium and said, it was all about adoption. Well, no, you haven't caught up with the fact that lie collapsed 5 days ago. And now we're on to, really, collusion. Is it so bad? Is it so bad? Everybody does it.
And then
everybody
can I pardon my family?
Yeah.
That's you where we went through after that. Yep.
You missed the whole second season, their champion. So you've got some catching up to do. But now he doesn't have to. Now we can just go home and sit and watch reruns.
Mm-hmm.
And watch Better Call Saul and see that Bob Odenkirk really is going to play him in the TV movie. I swear to God that's going to happen. This is the week when Donald Trump decided to blame the Secret Service for the fact that his son is a liar and an idiot.
Yeah.
Which is, I believe, the first time in history that's ever happened. No one blames – no president, nobody in the White House in their right minds blames the people who will take a bullet for you whether they like you or not.
Right, right.
For not – well, you know whose fault it was. The Secret Service should have vetted the criminals and reprobates and scumbags my son hangs out.
Well, and let's face it, by that token, by – just mentioning that, he admitted that he was in the meeting because the Secret Service was not protecting Don Jr.
No.
at that moment. So
no, and he knew about it.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Donald Trump, I'm sure at this point in his life, is used to having nannies and parole officers and various family retainers wipe his kid's ass.
Yep.
Get him out of trouble because these are a bunch of fuck ups. These are a bunch of inbred, half-wit fuck ups with a lot of money. So the Secret Service, as everyone else in his life, should just be the nannies for his idiot relatives.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they
right.
failed in their
job. If you're in the building, you should be taking care of my kids. Right.
And they didn't. And so they failed. This is also the week when we found out that Dana Rohrabacher, you know, Putin's stooge and staunch Republican Dana Rohrabacher,
right.
tried to set up a show trial last mm-hmm. June to undermine the sanctions that were put in place in Russia. And I use the word show trial because that's the word the article used.
Did you know that he's on Rohrabacher, that same congressman, is on the space committee, the House Space Committee?
Yeah.
And he asked some NASA scientists during a hearing this week if there was ever an ancient civilization on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7,000 years. He's talking like 7,000 years old ancient civilization.
Which is 1,000 years older than the Earth.
They said, no, sir.
No,
no there wasn't. But it was a serious question because he's read up on this sort of thing.
You know the part where we say there's no stupid questions? We would like to amend that portion of our presentation.
That I'm was not a making that up. That's no, not no, from
I,
The Onion.
I read that. Yeah. I saw, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I flipped past Fox last night, and there was Louis Gohmert doing his Louis Gohmert thing. And these are just, they're all idiots. They're God, by God, they're all, and they're all taking their marching orders from Sean Hannity, who's a moron. Yeah. So it's just, it really is the Eloy versus the Morlocks at this point. Yeah. Except the smart people are also the cool, good-looking people. Mm-hmm. And the underground-dwelling cannibals are also idiots. And they shouldn't be winning, but they are. And we really need to figure out how to fix that. But that's a different problem for a different day. All of this came out of Donald Trump's unhinged raving in the New York Times, which we mentioned earlier.
In which he confused life insurance and health insurance.
Yes, really. This is the thing that – because there were so many horribly stupid things in there, like – if only Napoleon hadn't fucked around that one night.
Yeah, he would have conquered Russia.
He would have conquered Russia, but they all froze to death because he couldn't keep his dick out of payroll. Right. No. Oh, my God, no.
But Driftglass, I got to say, if he wasn't pretending to be leader of the free world and leading a party that's trying to take away our health insurance and our children's health insurance... and hilarious. The health insurance of a lot of people in this country.
He'd be hilarious.
I'd feel sorry for him.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I feel sorry for him, and I feel sorry for his family. I feel sorry for people who have to take care of a 70-year-old who clearly has cognitive difficulties.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Let's not sugarcoat it.
No, and is a racist.
And is a racist and watches Hannity all the time. He should be in a rest home, and he should not have access to the television remote.
Instead,
he has access to the nuclear codes.
Mm-hmm. And this is looping back to what you said before. Mm-hmm. One of the many, many, many things that came out of this, which was supposed to be a meet and greet meeting until they said, look, do you mind if we just go on the record? He said, no, because you know what? All of these idiots have in common. They love talking about this shit.
Right.
Because they have theories on everything, and they're all stupid. They're all horrible.
This is when the attorneys quit.
Yeah.
That's what happens, because you're not supposed – and do you remember, did you see the President Show clip where the guy who plays the president on Comedy Central, he actually had Ron Kuby and couple other big name lawyers on his comedy show.
Oh, yes,
playing
yes,
the
I
president.
Yes, I did.
I showed this to you. I remember.
Yes, you did. I do.
And Ron Kuby, who was Bill Kunstler's law partner in New York City, you know, he's a hippie lawyer. And I thought he asked the best questions of he's trying to hire it. They pretended like it was The Apprentice.
Yes, and it's fake Trump trying to hire a lawyer.
It's fake Trump trying to hire a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And Ron Kuby asked fake Trump, will you do what I tell you to do?
No.
You not do what I tell you not to do?
No.
Well, then I probably can't keep you out of jail. And that is the point. I mean, an attorney's job is to keep their client out of jail. I remember, and it's like your accountant. Your accountant's job
you're right.
is to make sure you don't get audited. And if you do get audited, that you don't pay more in taxes or go to jail, right?
Well, your job.
And I remember, because my ex is he has a little bit of a Napoleonic complex from the standpoint of just being angry at stuff and being willing to fight. He's an attorney.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling
my ex is too, by the way. So.
Yeah. I remember him telling his accountant at one time, fine, I'll just be audited. And the accountant's face just went,
no.
All the blood just drained out of the accountant's face because my job is to make sure you don't get that. And you're really creating a real problem for me with my boss, with my firm, with the IRS. If I sign off on you filing taxes where you know you might get audited and I let you do that.
Right.
And I can't be your accountant if you're going to do that. You know, and that's the way these attorneys are. And that's why they're quitting.
Yeah.
It's because I've told you don't talk to the press about Russia. I've told you don't tweet about, for God's sake, don't tweet about Russia. Those are admissible evidence against you. Don't go on television and brag that you fired Comey because you didn't want him to investigate Russia.
Right.
Don't investigate Mueller, for God's sake. That is obstruction of justice.
Don't point at your Blackbeard's closet full of, you know, dirty Russian money and say, whatever you do, don't look in that room. I'm telling
you. You're not allowed to look at my personal finances.
Look in there. That's my stuff. You can't look in there. And I think it's because part of what we try to do on our little show here is to give you templates and vocabularies so you can look at the world and understand what you're seeing. Because sometimes it just is nuts. And a lot of times it's nuts. But or like a little pinhole card so you can observe an eclipse without burning your eyes out.
Right. And you know? A lot of us are burning our eyes out. And I understand that. We're going to get to healthcare in a minute. And I want everyone who's listening, again, let's take that mental health moment for a minute. Protect yourselves, put your armor on, take a break. This is happening really fast. Everyone is, even Chris Matthews last night mentioned that they're exhausted, but women are really interested in what's going on in politics right now because it's intensely personal. And so they really care. Chris Matthews, of all people, is hearing from viewers, we really care about this. Don't let up on this. So when Donald Trump says
he doesn't makes it clear in this New York Times article that he has no idea about the difference between life insurance and health insurance. You just get it for $12 a year. I mean, how hard is that? And then, no, oh my God, you really don't have any fucking idea about.
Because he literally said, by the time you're 70, you've got a good policy.
Yeah, I have a great plan. You'll have a great plan there. Yeah. No, you won't. And by the way, you don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. You don't know the difference between public and private. You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. You have firm fixed opinions. And that's sort of the template I want you to.
Because your HR person in Trump land has always made sure that you and your family have health insurance and that whatever needs to be done just gets taken care of. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I worked for an insurance company many years ago, and one of the lines of business they had to phase out was sort of the super secret executive line of business.
Right.
Which is where all the officers and executives of the company had awesome health insurance and paid for nothing.
Right.
Because that's one of the perks of, you know, of bleeding people dry.
Right.
And making a shit ton of money is you get the best of everything. Well, Donald Trump has never had to worry about anything like this in his entire life. So it's all the same to him. It doesn't matter to him.
Right.
But what you're watching, when you watch Donald Trump, you're watching a typical Republican. The typical Republican brain believes the federal government is a massive con job. I know I said this last week. It's a massive hoax to rip them off, that it's utter lawlessness, that whoever can seize power owns power. Everything is legitimate. No matter what you know, the only thing worse in this world than apologizing is apologizing to a liberal. Nobody has any principles at all. Nobody believes anything. So if I have to say deficits are bad on a Monday and then turn around and say I don't care on a Tuesday, I'll do that because that's what my team tells me they need from me. Mm-hmm. And that once you're in power, your objective is to take as much shit for yourself as possible, because that's what the other guys always do. Public service is bullshit. Anyone who works for the government is a thief. Well, Donald Trump arrived at the government literally knowing nothing about checks or balances or the Constitution or anything on this God's earth, how any of it works, except his belief that it's all a scam. And now he won. He won. I won the scam. I won the game. Now all of it belongs to me. Now everyone in the government has to do what I say. The Republicans are about to have to eat my shit. I can steal whatever I want. I can give away whatever I want. I can appoint whoever I want.
Well, but I would stop you there for a moment and just say, except that I have to settle Trump University.
Right.
In order to take the White House without this hanging over my head, this current lawsuit that's big and where I'm clearly in the wrong, I'm clearly going to, long term, I can stretch it out for 7 years because that's what I do, and settle with as many people as possible at the lowest price possible. But if I have to get rid of it now, I'm going to have to, and he did. He settled, don't forget, he settled for $25 million of his money.
I really
do believe that a lot of what he's been doing with raising the price at Mar-a-Lago and being at Mar-a-Lago for the first 3 months of his presidency,
charging
the Secret Service and charging the military, absolutely.
$130,000 a month.
For a floor of Trump Tower. That is an effort to not only get back my $25 million, which is what the price I had to pay to take the White House, but double it. And he has doubled it.
Yeah, easily.
And he's spending from the 3rd to the 31st or the most of August, he's going to spend at Westminster at the golf club. Mm-hmm. He's going to, you know, the August recess, he's going to be at his golf, as his privately owned golf club, and charging the Secret Service for hotel space and charging the press for hotel space. And he's going to make that money, triple his money, because that's why he ran for president.
Exactly. And so
the idea was to lose. And then you have a brand that's not only Trump the brand, but Trump the political brand that you can then market again to the poorly educated.
And you can have a show on Fox about how you were cheated out of office for the next 20 years. Because that'll play to the rubes, and the rubes love shit like that.
And as Hillary is impeached, you can be the point man as to what a cheat she is.
This guy arrives in office with a firm belief, and mind you, this is Steve Bannon at his elbow telling him he's right about the whole thing, that the deep state is out to get him. It's a massive liberal plot, and that his responsibility now is to steal as much as possible and appoint whoever the fuck he wants because he's the king. Mm-hmm. And he does. And then he talks about it openly because why wouldn't I? I'm the king now. I can do whatever I want. And what you're watching is a criminal who does not understand anything but criminal behavior, talking like a criminal all the time. His entire interest is you're being disloyal to me. The FBI should report to me directly. The everyone in the government should report to me directly. They should be personally loyal to Donald J. Trump and no one else. They were Jeff Sessions was disloyal to me. Because for once in his fucking miserable life, he did the right thing. And that means he failed me, and I hate him, and I hate the fact that I appointed him, because if I had known he was going to have that moment of honesty, I never would have appointed him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a criminal talking about his criminality. But you know what else he knows? He knows the Republican Party better than anybody else, except of course us liberals, because we live with these clowns, you know, for 25 years, 30 years. He knows that Paul Ryan is a soulless, gutless shill for billionaires who will suck any dick, bend over however far he has to, humiliate himself, wade through dog shit up to his chin in order to get tax cuts for his paymasters and get poor people the swift kick in the ass he thinks that they need. Yes. And he knows that Mitch McConnell is a soulless, calculating scumbag who mm-hmm. just wants to take health care away from poor people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows that is their value. That is their core value, that their core values are essentially depraved and horrifying, and they will do anything to meet those goals because they have made promises to God or to the Koch brothers or whoever.
Or the Mercers. Or the Mercers. Russia themselves. Yeah.
And they will destroy their own party. They will wreck this country. They will hurt as many millions of people as they have to keep those promises. And Donald Trump understands a criminal when he sees a criminal. And so when he looks across the table, he sees weak, pussy, con men who aren't up to his standards.
Right.
Paul Ryan does
just like when he got investors for his casino. It's the same group of guys. Yeah. The names are different. Yep.
And of course, we're not allowed to talk about the fact that Paul Ryan is fundamentally hollow as a human being and that Mitch McConnell is an evil person, because those words are not allowed on television. So we have to play this game of fashion and who's up and who's down and what's their tactic and strategy and I wonder what they're trying to do with this latest sweet move. And wasn't it clever of Mitch McConnell? Oh, his strategy failed. No, his strategy was repeal and slow death.
Yep.
That was followed by, since that didn't work, and hanging the entire House of Representatives out to dry.
Right.
Because all those people, including our congressmen, had to take a vote and whip for a vote that they now have to eat, even though they're going to struggle mightily to pretend it never happened. It'll keep trotting people like Charlie Dent out to say, oh, you know, both sides do it. Oh, the liberals did it too. Oh, you know, this is Barack Obama's strategy. We're just doing it a different way.
Well, let me stop you there, because I wrote a post on what day was it? It was the 19th, so it was 2 days ago, Wednesday.
Month in Trump years.
Yeah, month in Trump years. Tuesday night was the night after it really appeared as though Trump Care was dead. And we know they keep resurrecting it, you know, and the comparisons are made to Zombie Bill and the comparisons are made to Terminator and so forth, that it just keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. But it really did on Tuesday night look like it's dead. And Lawrence O'Donnell had Cecile Richards on. Mm-hmm. To talk about, and it was one of the few segments on television that actually talked about the resistance and talked about how it is us. It is us calling. It is us protesting at the senators' offices, protesting at the congressmen's offices, holding fake town halls when we couldn't have a real town hall, mobilizing. And Cecile Richards was on to say, look, it was 86% women calling congressional offices.
Mm-hmm.
It was three Republican senators, all women, Capito, Collins, and Murkowski, who put a stop to the vote. It was not the men. You know, this is a female movement. And I was so grateful to Lawrence O'Donnell because he said this. He said, I'm sure you know with all the people you talk to who use Planned Parenthood and others who also have Obamacare, this has been 6 months of incredible and difficult anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard said, that's right. And O'Donnell said, and worry and near panic for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this paragraph. I'm going to read it on the air because I think it's really important for us to have voice for this. I would like to thank Lawrence O'Donnell for acknowledging what gets lost in the view from nowhere objective journalism. The Republicans committed 6 months of legislative terrorism against average Americans this year.
Uh-huh.
The Trump care fight was not just political. It was personal and it was incredibly painful. The sense that you and your family might be deprived of needed medical treatment takes a tremendous emotional toll. The Republican Party did this to mothers of disabled kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to take a deep breath.
Take a breath. If you want me to jabber for a bit, I'd be happy
to. No, I'm good.
Okay.
People with serious medical conditions, those needing nursing home care, access to family planning, those in the middle of cancer treatment, average American citizens have endured sleep deprivation, disorientation, and stress because of what Republicans threatened to do to our healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
You do not recover quickly from that sort of endured suffering. And that was optional for the Republican Party to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided consciously to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We will never forget the last 6 months. What Republicans did to us cannot be undone. The fact that the bill failed is really, at one level, immaterial to me.
Yep.
Because I've lost 6 months of sleep over this.
Yes, you have.
And a lot of people have lost 6 months of sleep over this.
Millions of people have. Millions of people have. I'm not, my wife is much more skilled at navigating the worlds of bureaucracy than I am, but I've had more than my share of panic attacks in the last six months.
Yep.
And it's all about, you know, at root, it's about, holy shit, what about the kids? Holy shit,
yep.
Holy shit,
yep.
Holy shit, what do we do? And that's multiplied by tens of millions, multiplied by tens of millions.
And our kids have medicine, you know, they're on ADHD medicine and they're on medicine to control, you know, my son has autism, high functioning autism. He's a very skilled kid. He's going to college. We feel very lucky,
mm-hmm.
To have the blessing of this child who's brilliant and he has quirks like every kid has quirks, but boy, are we blessed with him.
Yep.
We have nothing compared to people who have kids with type 1 diabetes.
No.
Or cerebral palsy. My stepson died of cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody knows that. He died at 16.
Mm-hmm.
He had surgeries. He needed a tube to eat. He needed a tube to pee. He looked up to say yes. He looked down to say no.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear Republicans on television say, why does a kid need a new wheelchair every 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
He needs it because his wheelchair is soaked in urine 3 times a week. And he outgrows it like he outgrows shoes.
Because he's a
That's
kid.
That's why he needs a new wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgive people who don't know what that's like and need to be educated. That's fine. I'm happy to educate people
mm-hmm.
who need to be educated about the healthcare system. If you're willing to hold a goddamn hearing and hear from us, Mitch McConnell, about what healthcare is to us.
But they're not.
But they're not. So when this thing happened and it looked like it was over, no weight dropped from my shoulders, folks.
No, no, no.
Because they're still in office.
Because they'll come back.
And they'll still try again. Do this to us again.
They'll try again. They'll try
and
again.
And we're still
and again.
On the rack, okay?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Well, I mean, when it was clear that the horrible bill was going to fail because he is a thug and a criminal and a completely sociopathic, has no empathy for anyone but himself, Donald Trump's immediate reaction was let it fail. Let it fail and force Democrats to capitulate, and then they'll negotiate. Because that's how his brain works. He is a cruel, ignorant, vicious, racist asshole, just like about 60 million Republicans in this country.
Yep.
And so the idea is, who can I inflict pain on to force them to give me what I want?
Right.
He doesn't give a shit what he signs.
Which is a win. He doesn't want...
He doesn't give a shit what he signs.
What he doesn't want... He just wants something to sign. That's it.
And he wants Mitch McConnell to get out there and get him something to sign. And if Mitch McConnell comes back and says, well, it's those Democrats, you know, they won't budge. They care about kids and they care about women and they care about poor people. I mean, what the fuck are you going to do?
Well, his response is, I'm going to tell the Nevada Republican senator, do you still want your job?
Yeah.
Which makes him real popular among all the other Republicans in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Running ads again. He was going to run ads against Heller in Nevada.
Well, and then two completely predictable things came out of this that you just knew were going to happen. And one, I believe we predicted pretty accurately. The first one was Tom Price decided to use HHS funding, Affordable Care Act funding, to undermine the Affordable Care.
And to run ads. Yeah.
To change the links on the website that takes you to anti-Affordable Care propaganda and to use your tax money that's supposed to be going to help your fellow citizens with their health care to sabotage the system that they rely upon for health care.
Right.
So that was predictable because Tom Price is, again, a soulless scumbag. You have to be a soulless scumbag to work for this president. You have to be.
Right.
And second, as predicted, Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump, and, of course, their avatar, Sarah Huckabee, have begun lowering the Blame the Democrats lifeboats into the water.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Democrats, you know, they weren't so obstructive. You know, the Democrats failed us. And, you know, Donald Trump, who just learned math yesterday, talked about it's awfully impressive that he got 48-4
win.
It's a win. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. You're all losers.
I'm not going to own this.
And right across the board, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying, well, it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Democrats' fault.
And let's not forget that even Fox News had to put up a poll showing 72% of the American people want the Republicans to compromise with Democrats on the Affordable Care Act.
Right. But those 72%.
And then they had Tim Scott on at the time who said, oh, no, that would be terrible.
Yeah. Well, when Mitch McConnell has to threaten, uses compromise as a threat, and then turns around and says, these Democrats don't cooperate with us.
Yeah.
You have to look around you and say, who are you talking to? Who are you fooling? Oh, yeah, the fucking morons on Fox News. You're creating little taglines for Sean Hannity to trot out to keep the dumbest people in the universe angry and stupid and pointed in the right direction. That's all they care about. So this is not a problem with the Senate or the House or the president or whatever. This is a problem with the party from the roots on up. This is a party that has to be, you know, I tweeted earlier this week, nothing short of the unconditional surrender of the Republican Party is what it's going to do.
That's it. And until they're out of office, this is our life. This is our life. Mm-hmm. A couple other news items, because I know you're going to have to leave in very soon.
About 4 seconds. No, I'm doing fine. Thank you for keeping an eye on the clock.
Yeah. The Republicans in Congress have been protecting Donald Trump's tax returns and deciding they don't need to see those.
See that.
Paul Ryan took a little pink eraser and just erased Barbara Lee's AUMF repeal from
military
bill.
For use of military force.
Right.
She is trying to get passed for years.
And she got it out of committee and onto the bill, and Paul Ryan unilaterally took it out.
Yep.
John McCain has brain cancer. They found a tumor in his brain. They feel they got it all. Everyone on both sides of the aisle and all over the media wished him well. I don't wish cancer on anyone.
Nope.
I wish health and recovery to everyone.
Yep.
Barack Obama was a total class act, saying, you know, cancer doesn't know what they're up against. John McCain's a real fighter and he will really fight this. But I do remember when John McCain shushed Kamala Harris.
I do too. I sure do.
For asking questions and being a little too forceful, you know. At that committee hearing.
Is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John McCain, get well soon. let's hope you come back with an attitude of respecting your fellow senators a little bit.
Yeah. Respecting your fellow senators and realizing how important it is to have really good health care at your disposal.
Yeah, that'd be good, too.
That'd be really nice. And maybe you can have a talk with the voter suppression committee while you're at it. You could walk in there and say, you know what? Donald Trump lost by 3 million votes.
Yeah.
And voters and this whole committee is designed to make sure it's harder and harder for people that we don't want to have vote to vote. The only reason this fucking committee exists is one man's insane obsession and the fact the Republican Party absolutely depends on voter suppression to win elections, to mm-hmm. cheat to win elections.
Yep.
And you know what? I would hate to meet my maker,
yep.
knowing that I left behind a legacy of that much filth and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a position mm-hmm. to do something about it, or at least speak about it in public. And I decided my financial benefactors were more important than the good of the American people.
Yeah. Yep.
One thing I'd like to see stopped immediately
mm-hmm.
is the incredulity among our Beltway media, even our friends, every time they're confronted with an incontrovertible statistic about how completely fucking brain dead the Republican yeah. voter is.
Stop interviewing Trump voters to find out what will tilt it for them.
Oh my God, they're crazy. Can you?
I can tell you what will tilt it for them. $4 a gallon gas will tilt it
yeah.
for them.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Okay, maybe.
Goddamn Barack Obama maybe. Could be $4 an hour.
Yeah, and Hannity will come on and blame Obama for yeah. that. Absolutely.
But they have a ritual for this. They have established a ritual for every time another inconvenient poll shows up that says, oh my God, they're dumber than houseplants. Oh my God, they're a bunch of racists. Oh, they really mm-hmm. do believe this shit. No, this isn't about economic anxiety. This is just a bunch of really, really angry, dumb people who watch liars all day long and vote the way they're supposed to vote because they're just gone. There's nobody upstairs. There's nobody at home upstairs. If you watch, just turn the sound down the next time a disturbing statistic about Trump voters not believing that Donnie Jr. had a meeting with Russians, even though his father fucking said that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the sound down. Watch what happens. Because first they shake their heads very sadly. It's very sad. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this. Then they ask a rhetorical question or two. How? How is this even possible? What will it take for them to turn around? And they grope for some stupid metaphor. It's like if a cat fell out of a tree and then it fell out of a tree again and then a car ran over it. And then they just sort of run out of gas and move on.
Yeah.
Because they really don't want to address the question at hand, which is what the hell is wrong with these people? Because they're also in the business of selling dick pills and reverse mortgages, and those people are their customers too.
Yep.
And not going to turn around and point at the camera and say, you're the problem. You are the fucking problem. You out there who believe Donald Trump is A, B, C, and D, and nothing I say will do, and nothing anyone says that counteracts your biases and your stupid beliefs and your cult-like behavior, you are the problem. You are what's fucking this country up. And they're mm-hmm. never going to say it, mm-hmm. but they do have a ritual established for it. Very much like there has been a ritual for mass shootings, at the end of which we know nothing is going to happen because the Republican Party will not permit anything to happen.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Once again, Mike Pence still has never met Donald Trump. Doesn't know who that guy is. He's pretty sure he's seen him before once or twice. But I just Mike Pence, I'm keeping an eye on the people that have sort of fallen off the radar. Because I'm not sure who's going to take over once the impeachment trial begins, if there is such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Donald Trump has demanded that the Senate rewrite the rules to make sure he can rule by decree. So we're not going to have a 60 vote, blah, blah, blah. Let's just have 51 votes for everything. That way I can get the shit done I want it done. And I wanted to mention just in passing, noted crazy person. Wayne Allen Root explained why Megyn Kelly's career is tanking.
Ah.
And I agree with him. It's because when she was on Fox, she could shake her tits and show her legs and tell people what they wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's over on the liberal thing, not talking the thing we want, and now nobody gives a shit what she has to say about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
she's not a journalist.
Yeah.
She's a blow-up doll. And when you had the sexy blow-up doll telling you that Santa Claus is really white and so is Jesus – well, that was great. That just played right into your fantasies. And one day we'll get together and she'll realize I'm a really cool guy. And then she'll have dates with me. It'll be awesome. And then you sort of float off into whatever, you know, whatever opioid cloud you're in. And you're a happy, happy, bitter old white guy. But
well,
now
and I want to interrupt you again and just point out that, again, I want to make sure we're not just criticizing her for her looks.
No, no.
We are criticizing her for her costume.
Yes.
The costume she put on, which was provided to her by the Fox News wardrobe department.
Roger Ailes, noted sexual predator Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes deciding what she should wear, deciding how she should look, and having, you know, a contract about how much she should weigh and what she should wear and so forth is the problem. Mm-hmm. And when she is removed from that environment and thinks that she can become a serious journalist mm-hmm. over on some other network where people know who she is and what she did.
Right.
And have, as liberals do, long memories
and detailed
memories of what was said yesterday.
The people who thought you were awesome are not going to follow you over there. They hate that network and they don't want anything to do with anyone who's not telling them what they want to hear.
You can't be outside that bubble,
right?
It's fake news. So, you're destined to fail. And, I see the point of people who say, look, the reason you hired her was to because she was a bankable star for Fox News.
Sure, she was.
Even if she lasts 4 episodes on your network, you have a non-compete clause in there for another 9 months, and she's not on Fox. So you've done the Lord's work by getting her off of Fox. I get that. There is nevertheless a responsibility to the country that journalism we feel should have.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live in the land of should. I realize this is the land of for-profit media, but I don't have to like it, and I don't have to approve of it.
No. One thing before we wrap up.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up. But go ahead.
Today I will do a thing that I didn't think I would do, which is I will rise to the defense of Matthew Dowd. Matthew Dowd, who thinks I'm a liar and a fiction writer and a fraud and has blocked me and has
because you continue to call him out for his both-siders bullshit.
All I do is call him out for both-siders bullshit. Sometimes I use kind of salty language, but saltier than Ann Coulter, who he followed.
Right, yeah.
And I happen to be right, and she happens to be wrong. I tell him the one truth he does not want to hear. And that's why he blocks me. And that's why he gets really pissed off when people like our listeners turn around and say,
Remind him of Driplass.
Yeah.
Driplass is right and you're wrong.
I don't read fiction. You must not like the truth because you read that Driplass fellow. Because this is the chief political analyst for ABC News knows who I am.
Right.
And knows enough to stay the hell away from me. But he did say he was calling out. And this is weird because most of his positions are like liberal, straight up fucking liberal. One of them is, you know, people on Twitter who have like gods, guns and gays and so forth and talk shit about the poor and how the government should let people rot. And I'm sure I'm misquoting it, are not good Christians.
Yep.
And you know what? Some of the best Christians I know in terms of their action and activity, in terms of their behavior in the world, are atheists.
Right.
Which we've said on this show many times. And we're not trying to convert you. We're not trying to drag you into a church. We're trying to say, look, from our perspective, in terms of the work you're supposed to do, you know, grace enough is not alone. You got to have good works. And if you're working to do the things that we think are important, helping the poor, helping the sick, working for justice as best you can, you're on our team and you are exhibiting what we would consider to be Christian virtues. Even if you don't happen to believe in that.
Well, and in a way, we are adopting your goodness for our faith, which is not fair. It's not fair for us to call it Christian virtue because it's your virtue.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
But we recognize virtuous behavior when we see it.
Right.
And we acknowledge and recognize that the way you behave in the world is way more virtuous and way more true to what we think a person should be in the world than a bunch of fucking fake Christians who think,
laying hands on Donald Trump and praying for tax cuts. Yes.
And that's what Matthew Dowd said. And he was reamed by people who were doctrinaire, hardcore. No, you're a Christian. You have to accept Jesus Christ. And that's it, period. Didn't you study? And just they railed on him. There were articles about it in the Daily Caller.
Because if he's not your Lord and personal Savior, then you're not a Christian.
Calling him a moron, calling him this, calling him that. And all I can say is this. Look, in this one matter, he was right. He might have been awkwardly worded because, you know, Twitter is 140 characters. It's hard to be a poet. But the people who called him out because he said the virtues that I admire most, I see often reflected in people who are non-believers.
Yeah.
The people who are profess to be Christians are the people who behave in the least Christian way I can imagine.
Right.
I agree with him. I think he's right. I think people who are calling him out for whatever bullshit are full of shit, And this one time, I will say, Matthew Dowd, I'm 100% in your corner. I agree with you, and you're dead right, and they're dead wrong. So take that for what it's worth.
And I would like to applaud some bipartisanship in the United States Senate this week.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it can happen, folks. Bipartisanship can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rand Paul and Kamala Harris this week introduced a bill to reform bail. This is something that John Oliver had talked about, how, you know, there are people who are arrested for petty crimes, nonviolent offenders who wind up being stuck in jail for 3 years because they can't afford bail. And Rand Paul and Kamala Harris had an op-ed in the New York Times today, and they also introduced a bill to reform the system. And Rand Paul, you know, Kamala Harris did it from a social justice standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Rand Paul did it from a government spending standpoint. It costs $38 million a day to provide housing and food and clothing and beds for people who are just there because they can't afford bail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a waste of money.
It is.
And $14 billion a year is not something Rand Paul wants to spend. So he's willing to go along with Kamala Harris and get this legislation in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see Donald Trump sign that in a big signing ceremony with a big folder and hold it up.
Look,
like reform bail.
Look, I bail. Yeah. Does this mean?
And let's watch his the Trump supporters laud Donald Trump making it easier for black and brown poor people to get out of jail.
Yes. Yes.
On that note, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Chester.
Chester!
Chester just came to live with our podcast listener last week. So he's new to their house,
mm-hmm.
and he's already a famous toe licker. Oh, my God, we have that here.
That's
a skill. It drives me crazy.
That's a skill.
Little Olive will just walk over to you when you least expect it and lick mommy's toe.
Yeah. We'll come rocketing down the stairs. Turn the corner, ricochet off a wall, come to a dead stop, lick your toes, then run away.
And in the meantime, I've hit the ceiling because I have a cat tongue on my toe.
Why?
I love you, Mommy. Lick, lick, lick. Okay. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go, Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local.
We do.
We also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many listeners we gain, mm-hmm. It turns out that we really do stick to that 1% of our listeners supporting this podcast with a contribution.
It's a statistic.
It just seems to be that way. And that's actually typical of charities and other people asking for money. 1% tend to give. So we appreciate you so much doing that. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. You can join the 1%. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you so much for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gavel, the Internet Kitties hear that Sean Spicer has already landed a new gig on HBO, which is very cool. He's going to be Jefferson Davis's press secretary in Confederate. The casting director called his audition soul-killingly accurate.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the flower and the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Fake news, sparkle farters.